Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. We now return to the second half of Siman Chav Tes, the 29th chapter in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, in which we discuss and learn characteristics which a person is meant to acquire. This is the second section. In our first section, we looked at finding balance, behavior when performing mitzvahs, and the right environment. Today, we're going to look at four different concepts to complete this this general overview, and that is, number one, seeing the best in others. Number two, rebuking others. Number three, the most vulnerable in society. And finally, number four is living with self-respect, being above suspicion. Let's jump straight in at the top. Number one is seeing the best in others. This is going to take us through a few questions. We're going to look at nine questions on this particular topic as are described by the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. A reminder again, all these questions are being answered by the Se'ifim, the specific points in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the questions are structured in such a way to lead us to what the Kitzur is describing. Let's jump straight in. The Torah tells us that v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, you're supposed to love your friend as yourself. And this is what Rabbi Akiva describes as the great rule, klal gadol b'Torah. And we're going to look at some of the applications of this. So basic question that Kitzur asks is, how can a person be commanded to love another? And love is a feeling, it's an emotion. I am not in control of my emotions in such a way. So the Kitzur expands, and this generally seems to be his perspective. Rav Shlomo Gansri takes the behavioral approach. We may not be able to control our emotions, but it is important to control our actions. So speak well of others. Care about their money and their possessions. Be concerned about their honor. When one acts in such a way, that is how one will fulfill the mitzvah of Ahavta L'reacha Kamocha. What happens if I did not embarrass my colleague? I just pointed out how much I'm doing. And in comparison, it makes it clear that person's not doing so well. So this is the problem of embarrassing others and hurting them even applies through in the cases of innuendo and even in their absence as well. One has to be very careful about this type of thing. What if I really do not like someone? If I keep quiet, is it all right if I just don't do anything and I just resent them in my heart? But I'm not really doing it. No actionable item. So the Torah tells us, you're not allowed to hate your brother in your heart. And that means to say that even if it is just in one's heart, it is a problem. One has to eradicate that even from one's heart. We see this, but in the situation that emerges in Sefer Shmuel Beis between Avshalom and his oldest stepbrother, Amnon commits a terrible, terrible crime against the sister of Avshalom. But Avshalom does not confront him, does not speak about it. He keeps it in his heart, and ultimately that turns into full-blown murder later on. And so one has to be very careful about this. One has to deal with issues. One has to address issues, but not to store hate in one's heart. What am I supposed to do if this guy just does bad things? Like, what am I supposed to do? So this is where the mitzvah of hochiach tochiach es hamisecho comes in, which is a person is meant to rebuke their friend. And that means to say is they have to rebuke them and ask them why they took this course of action, explaining that it was negative. So if he sees error and asks me forgiveness, maybe I should just withhold it a little bit then, like just to sort of teach them a lesson. Is that all right? The answer is no. One should forgive them fully and sincerely. And we see this from Avraham. Avraham Avinu had his wife abducted by Avimelech. Avimelech made all kinds of excuses and then apologized in the morning. And Avraham Avinu prayed for him in the betterment of his house. So clearly Avraham Avinu did not, after the apology was made, Avraham accepted it. Sixth question, what if he does not return? Yeah, so I've rebuked him and he just says, speak to the hand. I'm not interested. Go jump in a lake. I'm not really interested in hearing anything. And he carries on his errant and brazen ways. So in that case, the person may hate them in one's heart. And that is, and if one knows that he's performing averos and is not responding to teshuvah, it is always best to have a third party confirmation. I find that people jump to conclusions very fast without really knowing the full circumstances. Number seven, if I believe someone is sinning, may I beg of heaven to take justice on them? So in a certain sense, rather reaching out to the higher authority and saying Hashem should curse such a person for all the terrible they are doing. So although it sounds like it's a just approach, one has to be very careful about this. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah tells us that one should be very, very careful about this type of thing, even if one is correct. Are there any exceptions? So some suggest that one is allowed to do this if one exhausted the opportunity of finding earthly retribution in the courts of man. If that has happened, then one is allowed to turn to heaven, but otherwise not. But there are those who question even under those circumstances. What happens if a person does this? This is a case where the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah tells us that one is reviewed and punished before one has asked of one's friend. So if in a certain sense, if one is calling the audit on somebody else, one will be audited. That is a very dangerous thing. Nobody is above auditing, and one has to be very careful. We're moving to our second concept now, which is the concept of rebuking others. We're going to jump in on a little more of those details, another 9 questions on this. So, is rebuke for Ben Aron Makom or Ben Aron Lachavera? Do we rebuke people on social or ritual sins? And the answer is both. How must I do it? So, a few tips the Kitzur gives us is it has to be done privately, quietly, and gently. But it also has to be done with the revealed intent that this is for the person, his or her own good. I'm not doing this because I'm getting glee out of seeing you diminished. I'm doing this because I know this is really for your own good. It's really hard to call people out. What happens if I just don't have the guts to do this? So the Kitzur says, in this case, a person would be considered held partly liable for the sin the person was doing. This is the kind of thing that happens in classrooms all the time. If some kids are doing something bad, the entire class will get punished, and the teacher will say, because you should have said something, you should have reported. It's not a right to watch something, because as a bystander, then you are considered to a certain degree, actually part of the crime itself. What if I know they will not listen to me at all? So I just know this. So if one is certain they will not listen, one need not rebuke them. However, if there is a chance, even ever so slight, one must rebuke them as well. This is where the Gemara tells us in the name of Rabbi Eli, in the name of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, that there, just as there's a mitzvah to say something which is nishma, which is heard, there's also a mitzvah not to say something which will not be listened. But one has to be honest about whether there is a possibility or not, because if there is a possibility they will listen, one must say it. What if my rebuking them will embarrass them? So, it depends. If it's benam lachavera, it is a social crime, one may not embarrass them at all. However, if it is benam lachavera, it is ritual, and the person's not listening, one may embarrass them as a tool of making them reform their action. Now today, this just turns into larger machlokes and defamation and lawsuits. It's because people are not willing to reflect on themselves whatsoever. However, yeah, this is talking in the times of the Gemara, and if a person this technically in halacha is allowed, it has to be done with exercising careful restraint, because today unfortunately people are not able to receive things in the way they used to. People are almost completely lack of self reflective altogether. But nonetheless, this is the halacha. Why is embarrassing somebody such a big thing? So the Gemara tells us that a person embarrasses another person, and this is not in the context of reformation or rebuke, then that person does not have a chelek in the world to come. It's a very, very significant thing, so much so that even Tamar would not rebuke Yehuda publicly, even at the cost of her own life. She just said that whoever owns this coat, this signet ring, and this staff is the one that I'm pregnant to, and she would not be willing to embarrass Yehuda publicly as well. What about children? Are children included in the prohibition of embarrassment? The answer is yes. What happens if I would never generally embarrass anyone in public, but what pointers can I have to be, I myself will never do that, but what are some pointers to avoid this? So the Kitzur points out, avoid nicknames and avoid speaking about things in their presence which they are embarrassed about. So sometimes we don't embarrass people, we just lead to situations which lead to embarrassment. And finally, last question on this topic is, what if someone wronged me and I don't want to rebuke him because it's just so small, it's so nothing, it's such klein kait. So the Kitzur finishes by saying, it is a midas chasidus, it's a way of piety not to care so much about others and let it slide. If one forgives inside, then one does not need to rebuke. Rebuke is when one's still holding it inside and avoiding hating another in one's heart. Moving to the next concept, our third concept for today, which is the most vulnerable. The Torah spends a lot of time emphasizing the importance of the careful treatment of widows and orphans, those who perhaps are more vulnerable in society. What does this look like in practice? So the Kitzur says, speaking to them calmly and quietly. treating them with respect and sensitivity. Obviously, this applies to anybody who's vulnerable as well. The Torah is specifically identifying people who are missing a significant person in their family. But there are many people who are also vulnerable in other ways. One has to learn from the message the Torah is describing to us. What if the widow or the orphan are rich and they don't have any financial needs? No, the requirement is still to treat them with incredible respect as well, extra special respect. As the Torah says, "Kol almonav yosam lo yisa'anun," you shall not take advantage of any, no matter their financial standing. What are the consequences of treating them poorly? This is a terrifying point. The Torah says that it is a covenant that God has made, that if they call out because somebody has taken advantage of them or been nasty to them, if im yitzak elai, shomaya eshma tzak, so Hashem says, I will listen and I will make your wives widows and your children orphans. So it's a very, very high stakes halacha that we need to be learning over here. What if I'm a teacher in the school, I'm a trainer at the job, how do I correct them if I have to be so sensitive? So the Kitzur points out that if it is for their own good, then one is allowed to be hard on them from time to time. Obviously it's for their good, meaning discipline is a very important developmental and necessary developmental skill that a person needs to have experienced. However, that has to be for their own good. It can't be excessive and an expression of one's own emotion. What if a person only lost one parent or they're an orphan? The answer is yes. One parent is on the grounds for being considered an orphan. How long are people considered orphans until? So the Kitzur points out until they are self-sufficient and they're no longer in the same level of vulnerability as well. Obviously, one treats everyone with respect, but there's this extra special care given to those who are extra specially vulnerable. Finally, last point over here that we're learning today, and that is living with self-respect. We cannot love others like ourselves if we don't love ourselves as well. Two ways this can express itself. What if what I'm doing is right, technically speaking, but because of the way it's done or how it's done or where it's done, people will question my actions. So the Kitzur says we need to be above suspicion. Even if I'm technically right, don't create situations in which a person will be questioned. That's self-respect. Similarly, what about receiving gifts? Says the Kitzur, Sone matanos yichya, quoting the Pasuk, that is best for those who love life not to accept gifts. Trust that Hashem will sort things out and do not rely on gifts for others. These are aspects of self-dignity that a person needs to preserve. With this, we conclude Simen Chof Tes, the topics of the characteristics with which a person is supposed to acquire. Have a wonderful and meaningful